I'd like to read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and halfway through, verse 7. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And verse 12. For the word of God is living and operative, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is not a creature unapparent before him, but all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do. Having therefore a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession, for we have not a high priest, not able to sympathize with our infirmities, but tempted in all things, in like manner, sin apart. Let us approach, therefore, with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for seasonable help. John Newton, a slave trader, who I'm sure a lot of you have heard, once said that he was a miserable sinner, but that he'd found a wonderful saviour. Simple expression of sinnership, and a simple expression as to the greatness of the saviour that he'd found. And it's wonderful to think, you know, that the Lord Jesus is crowned at the right hand of God now, right as we speak. I used to think that that was something that was going to happen in a future time. But you know, the moment, if I can put it reverently, that the Lord was taken up into glory, there he was given that crown. He was given that place of honour, because God was well pleased with all that he had done. As it says in another part of the scripture, what should be done to the man whom the king delights to honour? Now, that wasn't said of the Lord, but we can say that of the Lord. What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honour? You know, God, it says, has highly exalted him and given him a name, that which is above every name. And so the scripture that I read is, it's to just pull us up. Today, if you will hear his voice, the Lord is speaking. He may have spoken once, he may have spoken many times, and it says, man perceiveth it not. But you know, today, tonight, God, in his grace, is speaking once more. And are you going to hear his voice? Are you going to just have your ears open to the words of grace that is coming out of his mouth? That's why I found that hymn. Didn't know where it was, actually, because all I could think of was Message of Jesus, and that isn't in the index. But I looked through the book and I eventually found it. Message of Jesus. Message of love. Can you think of a better message to hear than that? At a time like this, time when the world is in conflagration, when there's so much unrest and so much fear, Message of Jesus. That's what the world needs to hear. Message of Jesus. Message of love. Telling of welcome to that bright home above. Do you feel welcome in this world? We said in our reading today that the world seems to be getting worse. Not better. It'll never get better. But do you feel welcome in the world? Those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, increasingly we find that there is no welcome in this world. The world says, away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us. And that was said at the time of the Lord's crucifixion. That word has not changed. It's still the same. Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us. And yet, that is why the world is in such torment, why it's in such a state. They refused to allow the Lord Jesus to rule in the hearts of men and women and children. They didn't want to know. Think of that. The Lord coming here, manifesting his glory, healing all that were oppressed. It was very noticeable in our reading today. We touched on the woman who had a flux of blood. Then we spoke as to the ruler's daughter who appeared to be dead. But the Lord says, no, she's asleep. And then we heard from the two men who were deaf. And then we heard about the man who was dumb. And after all that, they accused the Lord of having a devil, of having a demon. And you know, that just spoke to me as the condition of the world today. Nothing's changed. Can you believe that? Nothing has changed since the time that the Lord was crucified. Well, going to verse 12, for the word of God is living and operative. How wonderful for the words of Scripture, living and operative. It's wonderful, you know, when a word can penetrate the heart. That demonstrates that God's word is living. It finds out where you are and it immediately speaks to your heart. And it says it's living and operative. So it accomplishes that, as the scripture says, whereunto it is sent. It's operative. It finds a resting place in your heart. And it will disturb you until you answer to it. It's operative. And it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Haven't seen many swords about in my time, but I know that in the Middle Ages, when swords were used a great deal, there was an armourer and a swordsmith, and they would make those weapons razor sharp. And that's how the word of God operates. It's razor sharp. It penetrates, does it say? Penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the greatness of God's word. Finding exactly the point at which your heart will let him in. Where your conscience may be is pricked. But more than that, where it will open a way into your heart so that you can find for yourself the welcome in God's house. And so it says here in verse 14, having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. That person went into the very depths of death. Went right in to the grave. Think of that. The very depths of death. For the believer, thankfully, we don't have to go that way. Because Christ has been there. He's been right into death itself. Tasted of the bitterness of it. But it says that he's a great high priest. And he's passed through the heavens. How wonderful that is. The last time I was here at Basildon, we heard, for me, a wonderful gospel preaching as to the glory of the Lord. We all, looking on the glory of the Lord, are transformed from glory to glory. And that's by the work of this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Wonderful person. And that's who I present to you today, tonight, that you might find salvation in him, in his work, and in his name. How wonderful it is to have someone who is able to sympathise, as it says here, with our infirmities. One who is able to draw near one who is able to pour in comfort and consolation. That's the Saviour that I know. That's the Saviour that delights to draw near, delights to comfort, delights to bring in that consolation and that peace. That's another thing that's missing in this world today, it's peace. And you know, the Lord says, my peace I give you, not as the world knows it, but as I give it to you. That's a different peace. This is a peace that passeth all understanding. How wonderful it is to have such a Saviour. And it says, let us approach therefore with boldness to the throne of grace. No, we're living in the day of grace, and we can approach that throne without fear or hindrance because of the one who sits on it. Think of that. The one who sits on that throne of grace. Message of welcome, message of love. Telling of welcome to that bright home above. That's the home I'm going to. Is that the home that you're going to? Nick was in Oxford on Saturday, along with some others, and he was asked a question unexpectedly. Do you know where you're going when you die? And he was able to answer. And the girl that asked the question said, oh, she said, I haven't had a response like that for many weeks. But thankfully, though, that question was answered in the way that she dared not hope. Now, what about all you here? Can you answer that question? Where will you go when you die? You may not have to die, because the Lord is coming very soon. So if he comes very soon, as he will, where will you go? Will you be left here on earth to face the terrible trauma that's coming upon the earth? Those 7 years of testing, 7 years when the world is going to be put into greater tumult than it is already? Or are you going to go up to glory to meet the Lord in the air? If the Lord doesn't come, that's what I'm looking for, to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, and so we shall be ever with the Lord. What a glorious, glorious prospect. Well, just to close, I want to turn to Isaiah. Just one line. Isaiah 38 and verse 20. Jehovah was purposed to save me. I can say that. Can you say that? Jehovah was purposed to save me. He desires that you should be saved. He desires that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But can you say with the assurance of the writer of this book, Jehovah was purposed to save me? To have that certainty of hope, to have that certainty of knowledge in your soul, is what's going to take you through this world that has rejected Christ. No matter where you look, you will not find sympathy if you express your love for the Lord. You will not find sympathy if you express your hope in a future above and away from this earth. You'll be looked on as though you're mad. But you know, never mind the railings of men, never mind what they say about you. What's important is to know in your heart that Jesus is enthroned in glory. He's seated at God's right hand. He's anointed a prince and a saviour. I just desire that you may know him for yourself as a saviour. He's an all the way home saviour. Not just for now, but for eternity. How wonderful. Praise his name.
Amen.